It is.
I have it here because I got the thing. This is Forrest Elise interviewing Deborah Mage on June 14th, 2016 at 5:30 p.m. for the Creative Push Project. All right. So let me get done making some noise and then we can get
started. Okay. Yeah. Get settled.
Okay. So can you take us back to the conception of your first? Like, what was the circumstance surrounding that?
Yeah. It was kind of really interesting. I was had been married for a few years, and the pregnancy was totally planned. We had decided when we got married that we would have two children, and that we didn't care if they were two boys, two girls, or a boy and a girl. And we pretty much planned the time that they would be born. So we were really trying to have a baby at the time. And the most interesting thing, I think, about my conception was I felt it. I felt in my body, it was tiny little magical electric things that happened. I guess you could describe it as almost an explosion. And I think I was just really lucky to have felt that. I think that happens a lot, but we just don't get a chance to feel it every time. So I was very lucky, and I felt that with my first child.
Were you using any sort of ovulation kits or anything like that? Or just having a lot of sex?
Yeah. Well, we kind of did the calendar thing, so we knew marking my periods when I would be most fertile. So we used condoms all other times. Like I said, we just totally planned this. So when we decided to not use birth control, we knew we were going to be trying to have a baby. So we just used the calendar.
So you knew at the time of conception, but you didn't officially know.
No, but I knew. It just was undeniable. And in my head, my whole body, I knew that that's exactly what I felt.
Did you tell your husband, this is it?
Yeah, I told him. I said, oh my gosh, I just became pregnant. And he just probably rolled over and snored. He probably didn't really think that I was telling the truth, but I knew. So
did you wait the, allotted time to get by the pregnancy test?
I didn't. I started feeling sick right away, so a few days later I started feeling ill, and it kind of confirmed to me that I was pregnant, and I did not buy a pregnancy kit or anything like that. I just made a doctor's appointment and went to my doctor, so.
Did you, since you had spent time thinking about being pregnant and planning for it, had you thought about the kind of pregnancy you were going to have or the kind of birth you wanted? Or
well, I think I thought about it, but I probably thought about it more in a magical dreamy state, not what was really going to happen. So I probably thought, oh, I'll just grow this human being inside of me and everything's going to be perfect and I'm going to feel like Superwoman and I'm going to give birth to this perfect baby. And then I started throwing up every day. I lost about 10 or 15 pounds. I was probably got down to about 104 pounds just from being sick so much. And it was the worst feeling in the world. It's the worst I've ever felt in my whole life. So, but I was happy to be pregnant.
Were your doctors concerned or did that pass at some point?
The doctors were, my doctor was a bit concerned about me being so ill and losing so much weight. He told me that if I continued with, the severity of the nausea and the actually getting sick, that I would probably have to be hospitalized, just for fear of being dehydrated and things like that. So I really tried my hardest to nibble on little crackers, and I read and asked everybody I knew, what can I do to make myself feel better? So I got all kinds of answers to that question. So some people told me I needed to smoke a joint, but I didn't want to do that while I was pregnant. But some people told me that while they were pregnant and they were sick, they would smoke pot and it made themselves feel better. So peppermint tea, ginger, all kinds of, wives' tales to feel better, but nothing helped.
So did you ultimately put on weight? How much?
I put on a total of 20 pounds. So I weighed 124 pounds when I gave birth to her. So I weigh 10 pounds more than that now. So, you know, I think about that and I think, wow, I weighed 124 pounds when I gave birth. I was 9 months pregnant and gave birth to her. But the doctor told me that she would probably, well, we didn't know she was a she, but told me that the baby would be fine, that the babies have a way of taking their nourishment from your body, whether you want them to or not. So I lost hair. I had bad gums. I mean, it really affected my body, but she was fine and healthy when she was born.
So did you take any, classes, preliminary classes, prenatal classes, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I did the old-fashioned Lamaze class and learned how to breathe while I was in labor. And the funny thing is that breathing technique has helped me over the years. So anytime I've ever felt in pain or needed to calm myself down, I just use my Lamaze breathing method still. So it works for me.
Were you working throughout your pregnancy?
I had to quit work because I was so sick that there was just no way I could sit and work because I was constantly in the bathroom, either dry heaving or throwing up. So,
did you have a support network?
I did. My mom helped me throughout my pregnancy. I think she mostly just felt bad for me, that I think she wished she could take that sickness feeling away from me, but there was really not much anyone could do, just, you know, be there, you know.
Yeah, I'm so glad I won't have to see my son pregnant.
I know.
So had you known that you were going to go to the hospital?
To give birth? Yes. We had it all planned, and we did the Lamaze classes, and we signed up and pre-registered for the hospital so that everything would be ready to go once we got there.
Were you nervous? What was your expectation? Did your mom tell you what to expect?
I wish my mom had told me more, because I don't think my mom really remembered giving birth to me or my brother. I mean, I think she remembered, but I don't know. She didn't describe it in detail, so I really didn't know what to expect. And when you talk to people when you're pregnant, you hear all kinds of horror stories. And usually you hear the worst, like labor for 24 hours or, you know, C-sections, or the cord was wrapped around the baby's neck. So I was terrified. I mean, I was just worried and anxious and terrified.
Had you thought about whether you would want an epidural or?
I was clueless on that because I've heard of those things, but my doctor was very old-fashioned, so I had no sonogram or nothing like that. He didn't do episiotomies or anything like that. He just wanted you to have your baby as natural as possible. And so when people talked about those things, I really didn't know what they were talking about, because my doctor didn't mention those types of things to me.
So you had just expected that you would go through labor naturally and have your baby in the hospital?
Right, right.
And your doctor was definitely going to deliver you?
I was hoping so. I kept getting worried that he would go out of town or something like that. And so that just fueled some of that anxiety and nervousness and being scared, because he had been with me through the whole pregnancy, and I just wanted him there to deliver my baby. So, yeah, it was scary.
So maybe you can take us to the time around the delivery then, you know, what that was like.
Well, when I went into labor, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I remember I really wanted to take a shower and wash my hair and shave my legs, because I didn't want to be there laid out on this table with, you know, hairy legs and unwashed hair. So I took a shower and washed my hair and did all of that. I think I might even put on some makeup. I can't remember. But anyway, I went back to bed after that and just laid there counting how many minutes were in between my labor pains. And when it came time to go to the hospital, I worried again, because the hospital was about 35 minutes away from where I lived. So I kept having these panic attacks thinking that I would have to deliver along the way in a car or, you know, alongside the road or something like that. But I made it to the hospital. And when I got there, they weigh you and they put you in a room and they put you in a gown and all of that. And back then, in 89, the hospital I went to still shaved you. So I can just remember that this was the beginning of me feeling really just out there. You know, strangers were shaving my vagina and I was just, what is going on? And did I sign up for all of this? You know, so I started to feel a little, I don't know what the word is, like not embarrassed or ashamed, but just really just put out there, you know. And so they shaved me and they hooked me up to a couple of things and just left me in the room to continue with my labor. I was okay during labor for the most part. It felt like really, really bad period cramps. And I can remember my doctor sticking his head in and saying, at some point, you're going to start feeling some real pain. I'm glad that you're still smiling and able to talk, but pretty soon you're not going to be able to. And that really kind of scared me. But it was true, you know, it was true what he said. So after a while, it started to hurt pretty bad. And then I can remember asking for pain medicine. And they kind of just said, well, we'll see, you know, we'll come back to you. And finally, the pain was pretty severe. And I said, I think I really need some pain medicine or something. And the nurse came in and she said, you know, you'll be able to do this. You've got your Lamaze and it's too late for you to have any pain medicine. Apparently, I had dilated a little bit farther than they had expected. So I wanted some pain medicine, but they had told me that it was too late for that. And so then I realized I was going to have to give birth with no pain medicine. So in my mind, I was thinking about how many women that I know that have had babies and they're still alive because I thought I might die from the pain. So I would tell myself, you know, so-and-so had a baby and they lived, and so-and-so had a baby and they lived. So I think I can survive this. And then I started thinking of the really wimpy people I know that had babies, and I'm like, well, she's a wimp. She can't even handle a cold, and she had a baby, so I should be able to handle this. And then I started thinking farther back, like, well, Native Americans used to have babies just out in the forest or wherever they live, and, you know, they had no pain medicine, so, or maybe they did, I don't know. So I thought, I can do this. So I really talked myself into being okay in delivering.
So, excuse me, was your husband there or was your mother?
My husband was there. And I was glad he was there because he's a very, very calm person. Very calm. And I knew that he would keep me calm. And I had worried in the beginning that the pain would get so bad and I would start cussing or throwing things, or I heard stories of women cussing their husbands out and saying, you did this to me, and I didn't want to blame him, you know, for that, the pain. So I was worried about that. So I was very conscious of not doing that to him. So he was there and he comforted me.
Must have been difficult for him to see you in pain. Did he talk about that at all?
He never did, except for I know he was uncomfortable. I think he found it difficult to make me feel better, he thought. So he had that kind of, he doesn't know what to do, kind of a look on his face. And I think he felt sorry for me that I was going through all that pain.
Was there any position or anything that you found that was helpful, or were you on your back the whole time?
I was on my back the whole time. My labor started at 3. I got to the hospital about 5:30. This is all early in the morning. And I had her by 9 o'clock. So I wasn't in the hospital that long, really, you know, 4 hours, 3.5, 4 hours. So I had thought about all these other positions or trying to make myself more comfortable. I really wanted to turn on my side for some reason. It felt like that would ease my pain, but the nurses told me not to do that, that it would not be good for the baby, so I just stayed on my back.
So at some point you were checked and they were like, we're ready.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Well, when they came in and said I was fully dilated, by then, you know, the pains are so severe, but they tell you, they can tell when you're having a contraction. So I was told to push every time I felt that. So the pushing begins. So I had a heavy contraction and I started pushing. And while I was pushing, the pain would go away. So the pain of the contraction would go away every time I pushed. So I wanted to just keep pushing. And they kept telling me, don't push. When you're not having a contraction, please don't push. And I can remember that the feeling that I just needed to push, that I couldn't control not pushing. And I did tell them after a few moments that I can't stop pushing. You know, I really can't stop. And I felt like it was almost an involuntary motion of pushing. And they were like, yeah, the baby's coming right now. So I think they wanted me to push a little longer, but I just couldn't stop pushing. So I think I might have pushed her out a little early. I don't know, but I did. But I can remember feeling after her head came out, I can remember feeling the shoulders. And I think that was, I knew it was going to be harder to push that part of the baby out. And I worried about that. I don't remember why I was so worried about that, but I do remember tearing. So my doctor didn't believe in episiotomy, so I just tore. And I can remember, it just felt like burning, like somebody had just lit me on fire down there. But thankfully, the baby came out, and so you forget about all that other pain.
Did he stitch you up?
Yes.
Did you feel every stitch?
Yes. I felt the tugging and all of that. He did some stitches internally and externally. So I think he said I had 14 altogether. So, yeah. I was pretty tore up down there, but at the time, after the baby's out and they lay the baby on your stomach, you don't think about stuff like that.
Can you talk about that post experience?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting that they sent me home with this thing called a sitz bath. So I had to hook this up to my faucet. I wasn't allowed to wipe after I went to the bathroom because of all the stitches. So I had this thing that they gave me to attach to my toilet. So every time I urinated or went to the bathroom, I had to use this. It was like a little sprinkler system, so it would just wash me off down there. And I used things like Dermaplast, and they did light therapy, so they would take a lamp with a 60-watt bulb, and they would just shine that light down there on the stitches. And I don't know if, I guess they just don't do things like that anymore. I mean, this is 1989, but they were still doing this at my hospital I went to. And they told me to continue with the light therapy at home, so we had a lamp in the bed. My husband would set me up with my light therapy and point the light bulb at me.
Well, how long was recovery?
I think with all the sitz bath and the light therapy, probably lasted about 4 or 5 days. And then after that, it was just being careful. And I can remember thinking about people that were up sweeping and mopping and vacuuming after they have a baby. And I thought, how do they do this? Because I couldn't even sit down in a chair. I had a donut to sit on because I had stitches. And yeah, I was amazed. I started thinking that I didn't want to be a wimp, but, you know, I was trying to follow doctor's orders and take care of myself, so.
Were you nursing?
I was nursing, yes. And that was probably more difficult than then, you know, it was very, very painful at first, and I don't think I was doing it right in the beginning. My nipples were cracked and bleeding. When she would latch on, I can remember that the pain was so bad that my legs would tremble with pain. When I called the doctor after a couple of weeks of this, you know, he said, well, you know, you can take Tylenol. It's safe for the baby. So I was like, well, duh. Okay, I'll take Tylenol. And that helped a lot. Just a little bit of ease up on the pain was kind of all I needed to get me over that hump so that I could nurse her and not be bleeding. I mean, it was horrible and terrifying to me to see my child after nursing have blood around her mouth. So it was terrifying. So I was very happy to get through that. It was really difficult.
So then she latched well and everything. That went okay?
Yeah, it went okay. The doctor told me to that I could use things that were natural, sort of like vitamin E oil and things like that. Because back then, I mean, they just didn't have things on the market that you could go buy at the grocery store or at the CVS, you know. So I bought vitamin E oil and would rub that on my nipples, trying to get them healed. I talked to people about if they nursed, what did they do? And I had a nurse tell me that if I just sat by an open window and had the sunlight on me and had the sunlight on my nipples, that would help. I did that. She told me to never wash them with soap, so I didn't wash them with soap. I tried to do everything they told me to do to heal those nipples up so that I could continue nursing.
I didn't ask, how much did she weigh?
And she was 6 pounds and 12 ounces.
That is a good size considering
that I was so sick. Yeah, I mean, she was almost 7 pounds, so yeah. And she was a little early, not much. Her due date was July 7th, and I had her on July 3rd. So she was just a few days early.
I gained 60 pounds, and my son was just over 7 pounds.
Yeah.
Like 7 pounds and 2 ounces.
Yeah. My daughter just gave birth, and she gained about 45, 50 pounds, you know. And her baby was, let's see, what was she? I think she was about 7 pounds even, I think. Like 7'1", 7'2", something like that.
So is there anything else about this story that you feel like you have left out that you want to think about?
I don't think so, other than the first time I saw my mom after I gave birth, she came to the hospital, and she's looking at me and the baby, and she told me, she says, you have a little girl, so someday you're going to be by her side when she gives birth. And I remember at the time I was thinking, why are you rushing things, mother? I just gave birth, you know, but she was just expressing how she felt, that this was a beautiful moment for her, and she couldn't wait for me to feel that someday. So it was kind of interesting. And recently, not with this grandchild, but with my first grandchild, I was with my daughter and by her side when she gave birth. So, yeah, it was a beautiful feeling.
Full circle.
Yeah.
I'm going to, I normally ask this at the end, but I think I'll ask you now. So sometimes we'll, at the end of a story, ask the storyteller to kind of think of a word or a phrasing of words that kind of summarizes their experience. And I know that's a challenging question.
Well, you know, having three kids, I think when you first become pregnant, you wonder sometimes, how will you love this baby? Will you love it? I mean, what does that feel like? And it's amazing to me because I think when you give birth, you sort of grow another chamber in your heart because you just don't realize that you can have that much love for another human being. So it's this whole other part of your heart that you can give that has love. You know, it's just that your heart just grows big enough to accommodate that much love.
That was good. Okay, perfect. All right. on to the second.
Okay.
So can you take us back to that too? Was that Penny Arnold?
She was, well, we didn't know she was a she, but the second pregnancy was definitely planned as well. We wanted to wait until our first one, we wanted them 2 years apart, and we, at least 2 years apart, and we decided when my firstborn was two that that was just too soon. So we waited a little while, and then we stopped using birth control so that we could get pregnant again. And sure enough, we pretty much got pregnant right when we thought we would. I didn't feel the conception with my second pregnancy, but I just think I was, at first, when I first felt the conception with my first one, I thought that it was something totally magical and spectacular and just, you know, this was only going to happen once. But I kind of think it happens that you just get busy and the situation may not be the same, and so you just don't feel it every time. Because with my first one, I was in a dark room laying quietly, and it just happened, and I felt it. But with my second one, I had no idea other than I started getting sick. So my first morning waking up, throwing up, I knew I was pregnant. So same thing. I did not buy a pregnancy kit. I just felt extremely ill and sick, and I just kind of knew that feeling. So I made an appointment with the doctor to confirm. So, yeah.
So, did you expect it to be the same as the first and do everything the same?
I did. I expected it to be exactly the same, but it wasn't. I still felt sick, but I looked pregnant sooner. I just felt like all my skin and everything had been stretched out, so it was just ready to, like, let go. I was still just as ill, so I didn't really gain weight in the beginning, and I don't think I gained any weight with my second one until I was about 6 months pregnant. So my body weight stayed the same even though the baby was growing. But again, my doctor was very thorough, and he told me to not be too alarmed about it, and that, you know, she'll gain weight just fine whether I'm gaining weight or not. So but she was bigger. She was 8 pounds and 3 ounces, so she was a lot bigger. But my diet was different when I was pregnant with her. When I was pregnant with her, I just craved corn dogs and Big Macs. So I had a feeling, you know, that she might be bigger just because of all the junk food I was eating.
Does she have a taste for junk food more than your first?
She does. They eat similar to the way I ate when I was pregnant with them. So my first born, she pulls the skin off her chicken, and she only eats grilled chicken, nothing fried. She doesn't drink sodas. She's very health conscious and eats very light. And then my middle daughter, my second birth, she does. She tends to like the corn dogs, the Big Macs, and things like that.
So did you take Lamaze again, or did you remember?
I remembered, but I'm just one of those people that I feel like I need to do it, you know, take steps and do each step. I don't want to miss a step. So I took Lamaze again, and I remembered most of it, so I think it helped me with the second one as well. The doctor told me at some point that the baby was going to be bigger than the first one. And so that worried me because I remembered, you know, the pain I felt and the ripping and the tearing. So I wasn't looking forward to that. So I was very, very nervous about the birth of my second child.
Were you living in the same area?
Yeah, living in the same area. Hospital was still, you know, 35 minutes away, so... that was a concern always. I just always felt like I didn't want to be home alone or, you know, have my water break or something like that and no one to help me. But the second one worked out well because my mom asked me to come and stay with her the last few weeks of my pregnancy just so that I wouldn't be alone. So my husband and I moved in with our daughter to my mom's house, my parents' house, and we stayed there until I went into labor and went to the hospital. So,
how was pregnancy with the little one?
It was okay. Just after I got further along in my pregnancy, my daughter couldn't understand why I couldn't pick her up so much, because she was just a wee little thing, so I still carried her around a lot. So I think she started to feel already like, mommy's not the same, you know, things were going to change. So
so is there anything else about the pregnancy part that you want to mention?
No, with my second one, it was planned, like I said, and I was sick, just like I was with the first one. But with her being bigger, when it came time to deliver, it was very different. And I remember when she came out that the shoulders, again, were the hardest part. And I remember the nurses really trying to relax me and telling me to be as still as possible while I was pushing, that they were afraid that her collarbone might get broken. So some babies are born with a broken collarbone if they've come through the birth canal and, you know, it's been an issue with big babies coming out. So they were concerned about that, but luckily she was born fine, no broken collarbone. But I tore again, and I can remember when she came out that I could tell she was bigger. I remembered that feeling of giving birth the first time. And so when she came out, I was like, oh my gosh, this one's a lot bigger. I could tell. And I remember thinking, if I had her first, I don't know that I would have a second baby. I thought that. So she's lucky she was born second.
So how about the labor? Was it, because your last one was pretty short.
Yeah, this one was too. I started labor. Actually, with the second one, because I was just getting so uncomfortable because there was no room inside there because she took up a lot of room. I remember it was May 1st, and I told my mom, because my mom said, well, you must be getting pretty miserable. And I said, well, I am. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't do anything because there's no room in there. I can barely breathe, you know. So she says, well, you still have a while to go, because, again, her due date was May 12th. And I was like, no, I'm going to have her tomorrow. Pretty much in my mind, I'm thinking, come hell or high water, this baby's coming out tomorrow. I'm done. I'm completely done. And I had a doctor's appointment, and I asked my doctor, this is the day before I gave birth, I asked him what I could do. And he's like, well, there's all these wives' tales. You know, you can go walking, you can do this, you can do that, you can go on a bumpy car ride, you could... He says, but really, what will work is if your husband stimulates your nipples. And so I was like, well, okay. That didn't sound very medical to me, or I don't know. I didn't know what to think after he told me that. And he said, he can't just stop after 5 minutes. He's got to do it. You'll start feeling contractions. And when you start feeling contractions, you need to keep up with the stimulation, and you will go into labor. So I remember telling my husband that night what he had to do, and he was not convinced that he should do that. I think it kind of scared him a little bit. But when we woke up in the morning, early in the morning, it was about 6 o'clock in the morning on May 2nd, and I told him, you've got to do this, because I can't go another day. I can't eat. I can't get comfortable. You know, I'm miserable. So he decided he would help me out. So we started with the nipple stimulation, and I can remember the contractions coming, and I told him, okay, good, I've got contractions, keep going. And then, I don't know, it must have been about 15 or 20 minutes. Then I got really scared, because I was like, oh my gosh, I've put myself into labor. So I remember feeling kind of frightened and scared. I was like, now I'm in labor, now what am I going to do? So I took a shower, shaved my legs, tried to relax, but the pains just kept coming. So I was in labor. So I went to the hospital, I think around, it must have been close to 8 o'clock in the morning. I didn't have her until almost 2. So it was about 1:30 when I had her.
Wow. That's amazing that that worked. That's great.
Yeah, it worked.
Your mother must have been like so shocked.
And I didn't tell her what we were doing. So she has no idea how I went into labor. But yeah, so I put myself into labor. But it scared me afterwards. And I don't know if that was just a coincidence or if that really worked. So...
You seem to have a really strong, like, mind-body connection, though. So, I'm, yeah.
Yeah, I might have just talked myself into labor. I don't know.
Okay, so you've already talked about the giving birth part, the feeling of everything. I always think, you know, our hands seem like they would have the most nerve endings, but it's amazing how certain parts of yourself can, like, heal everything.
Yeah.
So... Why don't you talk about the just afterwards part? Was that the same, or did they put her on your chest?
They did. I think that was kind of a common thing to do. Just as soon as they cut the cord, you know, and the baby's crying, and they just kind of lay the baby naked on your naked body so that you get the skin-to-skin contact. So I had that. I don't ever forget that feeling. I don't think you ever do, having your baby laying just after they're born right on top of you. Because it comes out of your body, so you feel this great release. This giant thing, well, to you it's giant, comes out, and then it gets laying on top of you, and it's moving, and it's breathing, and it's trying to open its eyes and look at you. And yeah, I don't think I'll ever forget that feeling.
So what did you think when you found out she was a girl?
I was happy. I think because my husband and I planned it so down to the, almost to their birthstones, what month we wanted them born in, that we were happy because we had already told ourselves that we were going to be happy whether we had two girls, two boys, or a girl and a boy, so... I was happy. She was healthy. She was big and healthy. So she cried a lot less than my first one.
How was the nursing?
Nursing went great. I knew what not to do. And so it went great. I didn't have the issues that I had with the first one. So.
Was there anything unexpected besides the weight?
Well, after she was born and I was nursing... What was unexpected is she's 4 months old and she had teeth pop through. And, I mean, I was shocked because we weren't even feeling for tooth nubs or anything at that point. And I don't know why, but it kind of alarmed me. Like, why is she getting teeth so early, you know? Kind of like an alien baby or something, I thought. Babies don't get teeth at 4 months old, but she did. It was soon after that I stopped nursing, and I, you know, you can nurse a baby with teeth, as I found out with my third one, but I think because I was just scared that she had teeth so early, I stopped nursing her, and almost because I wanted to start giving her formula and feeding her food early, I in my mind, I thought she's ready for food almost. So I didn't nurse her as long. I think she was completely weaned at 6 months old.
So is there anything about this birth that stands out to you or that you want to mention?
For her, I just think it was just so different because she took up so much room that... you know, you don't realize what happens inside your body when you're growing this baby in there. So for her, other than being sick like I had been, it was just that feeling of something is really giant growing inside of me. You know, I worried about all my organs in my stomach. I couldn't eat. I could barely breathe because she was just pushing on everything.
Did you find after you had your babies that your body kind of went back to normal?
Well, I think with nursing it helps because when you nurse, at least when I nursed, I would get contractions again. So the doctors and the nurses told me that that might happen and that that's a good thing because that's just kind of your uterus going back to its normal shape and size. So I think the nursing helped.
All right. I think we can go to the third birth. Okay. So had you planned on having three children?
No, not at all. And when I started throwing up and feeling sick, I knew I couldn't be pregnant because we were using birth control. So I was trying to figure out why I felt so terrible. Finally, I decided to go to the doctor. I was so concerned. I thought that I was really sick, like I had something wrong with me, like some sort of disease or something. And I remember feeling so scared because I was like, well, if I die, then, you know, my kids are going to be left alone. And it was a horrible feeling. And the doctors, I go to the doctor. So he's doing all his normal stuff, you know, look in your nose, mouth, ears, and throat, and feel you and ask you about your periods and everything else. And he wanted me to do a urinalysis, and I felt fine about that. I just kind of wanted to get to the bottom of what was wrong with me because I knew it was something horrible. And the doctor comes in after a couple of hours, it seemed, and he says, so June 5th, how do you feel about June 5th? And I'm thinking, he's asking me if I want to have surgery or if I'm going to die, or I'm thinking June 5th, is that when I die? Is that, am I supposed to have surgery? What's going on? And I said, for what? You know, and in my mind, all these things are rolling around. And he says, to have a baby. And I was like, no, I've been using birth control. I know I'm not pregnant. I have a horrible disease. And he says, no, you're pregnant. So I think I might have cried, you know, and I sort of felt like I just got my youngest one into getting ready to go to kindergarten, and I was thinking about all this freedom I was going to have while the kids are in school, and now I'm pregnant, so it'll start all over again, diapers, nursing. So I wouldn't say that I was unhappy or mad or angry. I was kind of in shock, and I did sort of feel sorry for myself, like suddenly some freedoms were taken away from me. But I still loved whatever, if it was a boy or a girl grown inside of me. I was okay. All right, I'm going to have another baby.
Tell me about when you broke the news to your husband.
I called, and he was at work, and I said, you know, I went to the doctor today, and he's like, yeah, you know, how are you okay? Because he knew I kept telling him, you know, that I was dying or something. He's like, are you okay? And I said, well, you know, the doctor asked me about June 5th, and he's kind of said, well, what the hell has June 5th got to do with anything? And I said, well, apparently I'm going to have a baby, and that's my due date. And silence. I hear just silence on the other end. So I wasn't sure, you know, what was going on. So I kind of said, hello? Hello? And then I hear all this rustling around and everything. And finally he says, you know, I can't believe it. And then I can tell that he's crying, but he's ecstatic. He's so happy that he bursts into tears. And he's happy. So then I felt really crappy that I had the reaction I did because I sort of felt like some freedoms were being taken away from me. And he was the most excited with this one than I think even with the ones that were planned.
Well, it was a surprise.
Yeah, it was a surprise.
Okay, so let's get into the pregnancy part then.
Yeah, the pregnancy part. This third one was almost identical to my first one. I was sick again. I didn't gain a lot of weight. I think I gained about 20 pounds with him, too. I gained 24 pounds with my second one. So with all three of them, I didn't gain much weight. But it just had to do with I was sick so much. So I gained 20 pounds with him. I had the cutest little pregnancy belly. I was sick, but of course I was in love with whatever baby was growing inside of me. And by then, my doctor had stepped into, you know, more modern type thinking. So he had asked me if I wanted to have a sonogram and find out the sex of the baby. And I wasn't offered that with my first two, so I was a bit nervous, but I said, sure, why not? So I can remember finding out that it was a boy, and I had a lot of feelings, and one of them was being nervous because I remember thinking, well, when you change the diaper of a girl baby, you do it, and it's done, and then I can remember thinking, what do you do with a boy baby? You know, is it the same? Is it... I remember, like, I don't know if I can have a boy. I'm used to girls, so. But the pregnancy, I would say, went very well. I wasn't shocked or concerned about things as much. I wasn't as scared. I tried to enjoy it as much as I could. Because I knew that after I had him, I was going to have my tubes tied. And I wasn't going to have any more. So I wanted to enjoy that pregnancy as much as I could, even though I was sick. So I really just tried to be happy, and I tried not to make my little girls feel bad, because while I was pregnant, I had this, like, superhuman smell. I could smell things. I mean, if somebody was smoking a cigarette next door, I could probably smell that. And my kids, they started to smell like puppies to me, and they would go outside and play and then come in, and just the smell on their hair, I would throw up. They made me, the smell of them made me throw up. And they didn't stink. It was just the scent they had on them.
Were they pretty, like, geared up about having a brother?
Oh, they were excited. They were so excited. And they remain excited. They love their brother so much. And when he was born, they took care of him. And when he was a toddler, I couldn't even yell at him, because they would, don't yell at the baby. And they just coddled him. And they think he's the greatest thing.
So was this an early labor too?
My due date was June 5th. And my doctor decided that if I didn't go into labor on June 5th, that he would induce me, because my second child was over 8 pounds, and he didn't want me to have another big baby like that. So he said, if you don't go into labor, then I'll induce you. So I had an appointment at the hospital at 7 a.m., and I went to the hospital to be induced, but I was having labor pains. They just weren't very strong, and they weren't very close together. So the nurses decided to just wait and see if I progressed, and I progressed. So my labor pains got stronger and got closer together, and they're like, we're doing this. You don't need to be induced. So I was there. It was so weird to me that I was there on my due date to be induced, and I ended up in labor, so.
I'm not surprised at all. I think that's just you.
Yeah, so.
So were the contractions and everything, do they feel the same?
It's funny, because I forget the pain I had when I was in labor and giving birth to my son. I don't know why. I remember my daughters, the pain and the labor pain. But with my son, I don't know why. Just everything just seems softer. All the memories seem softer. I think because I knew he was going to be my last one, that I didn't want anything negative attached to the birth or the labor. So I think I just told myself that everything went great. Like, I didn't feel a thing. I did, and I had stitches again, but I just don't remember it as much as the pain as much.
How big was he?
He was 6'13". Well, no, he was 6'12". My first one was 6'13", so he was 6'12".
Was the process of labor and delivery the same then?
Yeah, it was the same. Just keeping track of my labor, and the same when I had a contraction, I would push. Everything went off without a hitch.
Did you feel that head and shoulders?
I did, but I don't remember it hurting as bad. I remember when he came out that I felt like he felt the same as my first one. You know, I was like, okay, now this one feels like the first one. I could definitely tell the difference that he was not as large as my second one. So.
And they put him on your chest?
Yeah. Yeah, same thing. Put him on my chest. He wanted to nurse right away, and they thought that was fantastic because they were like, wow, he's ready to go. He's alert, and he knows what he's so supposed to do. So, and then by then, I considered myself a pro at breastfeeding. So
it went without a hitch?
Without a hitch. I didn't have to take Tylenol. My legs didn't tremble with pain. So, yeah.
So when did you introduce him to the girls?
They were at the hospital. My mom brought them while I was in labor, so they were just waiting. So as soon as they wheeled me out into my private room, the girls were in there waiting, so they got to see their little brother right away. So all of a sudden we became this big family. All of a sudden I had three kids.
So how was those diaper changes?
The kids helped, and dad was extremely helpful, so I got through it. Yeah. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
That sprayed in the face a couple times, though.
Yeah, yeah. I've worn spit up and poop and been peed on several times, yeah.
All right, so that's your last birth.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to say in summary of that experience?
No, it's just my daughters and I have talked about what a blessing that my son is. I guess because he was such a surprise and he wasn't planned. They were totally planned. I mean, we really wanted, we planned their birth month, their birthstones, everything. So it was such a shock and a surprise. So it's almost like not that we appreciate him more, but I don't know. He's just really special.
That's perfect. That was a perfect ending. Yeah. Good.
I have one thing. Could you talk a
Ashley
little bit?
Ashley Zukowski.
Thank you. Could you talk a little bit about sort of like right before realizing you were pregnant and kind of how you had felt like your family was complete, you had planned for these two, and then kind of like move into the transition into realizing having another?
Yeah, it was difficult even for me to tell my mom that I was pregnant after I found out. But, when you've got this thing, like we had the house with the swimming pool and, a Labrador Retriever and two children, a minivan and a pickup truck, and that's what we wanted. That was what we had decided our life was going to be. So when I became pregnant, it was really complicated because all of a sudden now, what do we do? Well, we had a 3-bedroom house, and you know, you think of all these things, like, well, what are we going to do? Because now there's this new thing that is that we have to think about. And as I mentioned before, I felt like some of my freedoms were going to be taken away. And telling my mom, she kind of, I mean, she reacted in a way like, almost like, oh no, well now what are you guys going to do? You know? And I can remember feeling at that moment like, well, you know, don't make it sound like that. You know, it's not like he's unwanted, or I didn't know it was a he at the time, but it's not like this pregnancy is unwanted. It was just not planned for, and it was a shock and a surprise. But so it was difficult. I always felt like while I was pregnant that my mom, because my mom doted on my girls. And while I was pregnant, I felt like my mom wouldn't have room for another one, because the two girls were always the two girls. I'll pick the girls up. I've got the girls. It's the girls, girls, girls. She shopped for them all the time. And when we found out he was a boy, you know, I just kept thinking, is he going to feel left out? You know, is he going to feel unwanted? You know, I don't want this baby growing inside me to ever feel unwanted. So that, I think, was my biggest concern, was just, I did not want him to ever feel like he was unwanted.
It was quite the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, sure, it threw a wrench in all of my, you know, ideas I had of, you know, I had my little perfect little life. But he definitely was very wanted, and so we love him.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Anything else about the experience before we turn off?
Nope, I don't think so.
All right. Oh, I have to stop. I always hit
the button again. Where is it? Isn't this one?